Those stories coming up, and I want to talk more about the Open Championship. Joining us to break it down is a senior writer at Sports Illustrated, a columnist for Golf Magazine, an author, and creator of The Knockdown. Alan Shipnook is my guest. Alan, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Romy.
Always good to have you, Alan. Thanks so much. Now, you've had some time to think about it and some time to reflect upon it. So when you look back on yesterday's final round and the performance of Jordan Spieth, what stands out to you the most?
You know, it's interesting. People have always wanted to compare Spieth to Tiger Woods just because of what he's accomplished at such a young age. And I've always felt like the comparison to Phil Mickelson was a little bit better because Spieth, there's a volatility to his game and unpredictability, kind of like Phil. You know, he can look sublime and ridiculous often during the same round. And, I mean, we saw that during the final round. You know, that shot on 13 will go down as probably the worst drive any player has ever hit en route to winning a major championship. And, you know, but Jordan really married the best of both Tiger and Phil. You know, he scrambled like Phil, and then he closed like Tiger. And it was an incredible performance. It was, you know, kind of a monument to the kid's grit and his heart and his head. We know he's a talented golfer, but he has all those intangibles that really separate the very good from the very best. And that was absolutely on display yesterday. And it puts Spieth in a whole different stratosphere. I mean, he's clearly the most important player of this current generation. I think he's usurped that title from Rory McIlroy. He's on a historic pace, whether you compare him to Tiger or Jack or anybody. And where he goes from here is really the biggest question in golf, because he could do anything at this point.
You know, there's so much in that I want to respond to, but I want to go back to your first point, Alan. Alan Shipnook is my guest. The point that he's not so much Tiger as he is Phil Mickelson. Fact of the matter is, you called that even before that round. On Saturday, he had a bogey-free 65, and you tweeted, macho round by Spieth, and it's hard to see him not winning, but he does have more Phil in him than Tiger. That volatility makes Sunday interesting. So you called it before it happened, but were you ever thinking that he would come out with three bogeys on his first four holes yesterday?
Well, and especially missing short putts. You don't expect that. But, I mean, even when Spieth won the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay, he made a god-awful double bogey on the 71st hole, which could have defined his entire reputation if he hadn't birdied the last and had Dustin hand him the trophy. I mean, obviously, we know what happened at Masters last year when he rinsed two at Rays Creek. I mean, when he was chasing the Grand Slam at the Old Course, on the 71st hole, he missed a pretty short putt, and he made two horrible swings on the last hole. And so even when he's won or he's been there in contention, he's made mistakes. And so I don't think there's ever any doubt he was going to be tested during the final round. There would be a crisis of his own making. You know, couldn't have predicted it would be as spectacular as it was. And, you know, most players in that situation on the 13th hole would have completely panicked and lost their head, and their heart rate would have been going at about 220, and they would have made a triple bogey and blown themselves out of the tournament. I mean, for Spieth to rally and save bogey, I mean, it's probably the greatest bogey in golf history, and obviously it propelled him forward from there. So you knew it was going to happen at some point. I mean, he was never going to go out and have, you know, 17 pars and a birdie. That's just not how the kid plays. He's all over the place, and that's why he's so compelling. But it was one of the really all-time great turnabouts in the middle of a round. I mean, guys can play poorly one day and find it on the range and play well the next day. It's really hard to right the ship in the middle of a round when the whole world is watching and history is on the line. And you know, Spieth has the ability to do that. It's just incredible fortitude and focus and just kind of the ability to slow down and reset. And in any sport, it's hard to do that in the middle of the competition. In golf, which is so internal, and where you really have no teammates, to lean on it, it's an incredible ability that he has.
And what a great point that is to make. And it's one thing, Alan Shipnook, my guest, one thing to have the best bogey ever, but just getting out of that with a bogey is one thing. But then he goes birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie. So given the situation and the circumstances, have you ever seen anything quite like that?
No, not with the stakes that high. I mean, it was just phenomenal. I mean, when he hit that tee shot on 14 and almost stuffed it next to the flag and flirted with a hole in one, you could just feel the momentum switch. Even though he was one down at that point, you started feeling sorry for Matt Kuchar, because Kuchar is the quintessential kind of soft golfer who just is not ready for a fight. And Spieth wanted to brawl. I mean, you could see in his eyes. it was almost like, you know, that bogey was like smelling salts or something, and it just woke Jordan up. And all of a sudden, you know, he gets this gunslinger look. I mean, Ben Crenshaw compared him to Wyatt Earp, and his eyes narrow, and his face gets, he just gets this look, and there's not a game face like that in golf. I mean, there's really not. You know, Tiger had it at some points, but when Spieth gets that look in his eye, you know it's coming. I mean, he's just one of those athletes who can very quickly get in the zone and do amazing things. And it's not an accident that so many of his victories have been punctuated by hole outs or long putts or spectacular moments. He has a certain magic to him that is rare in any sport, and especially in golf. And he just found it at exactly the right time yesterday.
Yeah, we're talking about 15, too. I mean, what do you make of that eagle putt on 15 and then the shout of, go get it, to Michael Greller?
Yeah, that was perfect. It's like, the thing is, he didn't even, there was no celebration. He probably just won the Open with that putt. But, you know, he's already on to the next tee. He just wants to play the next hole. He wants to keep going. It's like, Greller, get me the ball so I can hit it again. You know, I'm not ready to concede anything. And I thought that was great. I mean, that was vintage Spieth, where, you know, the whole world is losing its mind, whether it's on Twitter or in real life. And he was the coolest guy out there. Like, okay, I made an eagle. That was cool. Now I want to go make another birdie. And that's part of his fighter's mentality. You know, he was a very, very good baseball player. He was he's a lefty. You know, he's kind of like Ben Hogan. He's left-handed, but he swings a golf club right-handed, so he's got that dominant arm leading the swing, which some people think is really advantageous. But, you know, Spieth was a great baseball player. He was money as a three-point shooter playing basketball. And he grew up with some really strong athletes in Dallas, guys who played college football and college basketball. And his whole life, he hardly lost at anything. You know, they had this little core group of kids. They dominated every sport at every level. And so he's not this golf nerd who grew up in a vacuum on the driving range. I mean, he's a serious athlete and competitor. And he brings that, you know, to the fight in a way that most golfers just can't relate to. And so that's part of his competitive DNA. And he likes those situations. He's not afraid of those one-on-one matchups like he had with Kuchar. You know, you never felt like Kuchar was in his comfort zone. He was just kind of into the middle of the green and playing kind of cautious golf. And he had Spieth on the ropes, but he just couldn't land that knockout punch. He just doesn't have that same flintiness or that same hardness that Spieth does. And, you know, we obviously saw that in the closing holes.
Well, I mean, that kill or be killed mentality. So if you're Matt Kuchar, Alan, how do you feel right now? You take a one-shot lead with five holes to play. You play the next four holes in two under before you bogey 18 when it's over. Normally taking a one-shot lead with five left and following that up with a couple of birdies is enough to win. So if you are Kuchar, how do you feel right now?
Well, you just feel like you got run over by a freight train. I mean, that was the momentum on that golf course flipped so fast. You felt like, you know, maybe Jack Nicklaus in his prime couldn't have held off Jordan, you know, the way it was going out there. But it was interesting because Kuchar just didn't put any pressure on Spieth when, you know, the quintessential moment was 13. I mean, that was the best shot that Kuchar hit all day. You know, he knocked it pretty stiff. And, of course, he got iced before the putt. You know, he had to wait forever for Spieth to play. But, you know, if Kuchar steps up and makes that birdie putt, you know, 15-footer, whatever it is, and then who knows if Spieth makes his bogey putt. You know, that's one of those match play moments where what you do can have a profound effect on your opponent. And, if you know, that was really the most important putt of Kuchar's life, given the circumstances, and he didn't make it. And, you know, you can't make every 15-footer, and as you say, he played pretty well coming down the stretch, but there was little moments where he could have answered or he could have applied a lot of pressure on Spieth, and he didn't, and that just allowed Jordan to roar home. But, you know, Kuchar doesn't have to hang his head. He played a very solid round of golf, but, you know, we witnessed something supernatural out there, and I think probably he'll shake this off and just say, there's nothing anybody could have done, including me.
All right, so if Spieth does not recover the way he did on the back nine and he loses, how different does he look today, and what's our conversation?
Oh, we're writing his obituary. I mean, the guy, you know, it was only 15 months ago that he took a five-shot lead in the back nine at the Masters and completely self-immolated, you know, some of the worst pressure shots golf has ever seen. And if he'd let this one get away, it would have been brutal. I mean, you'd have to question the guy's entire future, despite how much game he has, you know. when you throw in those other things I mentioned earlier, especially, you know, at the old course in 2015 when he couldn't get it done down the stretch there with the Grand Slam hanging in the balance. So it would have been a devastating defeat, and it would have taken him a long time. I mean, his whole brand would have changed. You know, this guy has been defined as, you know, the clutch gene and the ability to come through when it really matters. And if he'd blown that one with, you know, missing those short putts and hitting the ball off the planet and a whole series of other mistakes that he was able to kind of wash away, it would have changed the conversation dramatically. But, you know, that's the great thing about sports. I mean, if Kyrie Irving misses that shot against the Warriors, you know, it's a whole different conversation. I mean, there's these little moments where the entire reputation of a person can swing forever. And, you know, to Spieth's credit, he embraced that challenge and he came through. And now he's rightfully being celebrated for, you know, what he's done.
Alan Shipnuck, my guest. Before you go, Alan, one last thought. There was a round of 63 yesterday, the first ever 62 in a major, and that's on top of two 59s and Jim Furyk's 58 last year. What does that tell you about where golfers are relative to the golf courses they're playing right now?
Yeah, it's a really interesting moment in golf. The game has evolved so quickly. I mean, you look at Brooks Koepka, who won the U.S. Open. I mean, the guy has muscles. You know, he lives in the gym. It's become such a power game. And whether it's in the gym, it's nutritionists, it's using TrackMan to optimize their flight conditions with computers, these guys are, you know, they're 21st century athletes, and they're playing on 19th century playing fields, and the courses cannot contain the modern golfer. And in the absence of a really extreme setup or really crazy weather, they are going to destroy any golf course on the planet. I mean, the Royal Birkdale, 7,000 yards, was laughably short. I mean, it was pitch and putt, and, you know, Chambers Bay last month at the U.S. Open was 7,800 yards. And Koepka absolutely ate it for breakfast and lunch. It was a joke what he reduced that golf course to. And I had this Twitter jihad all weekend saying that you need courses to be 9 or 10,000 yards to challenge these guys. And a bunch of people got their panties in a knot. But it's just the truth that people don't want to acknowledge how much the game has changed and how quickly. And there's other ways to contain the players. I mean, you can grow thick rough and you can have narrow fairways, but then, you know, you're taking the driver out of the hands of the longest players, and is that really fair? I mean, the hardest thing in golf to do is hit the ball long and straight, and it should be rewarded, not penalized. So the game is in a funny place where they can't present a playing field that's challenging enough to the players without something. Someone's got to give. Either you take the driver out of their hand, or you bank on really funky weather, and if you don't get the weather, then they're going to be shooting 60 nothings, and, you know, we saw that at Birkdale, and it's just going to continue. It's a fundamental issue that the ruling bodies are going to have to address, because they've kind of been asleep at the wheel and let the equipment and everything else kind of go crazy. And, you know, people say, well, you know, the basketball players are getting bigger and stronger, so they raise the rim. But the defense has gotten bigger and stronger, too. Same in football. You know, it's evolving on both sides of the ball. But golf, there is no defense. I mean, the course is just sitting there waiting to be taken apart by these guys. And so it's an interesting moment. 62 is going to become the norm. They're going to be shredding these golf courses going forward unless something fundamental changes within the sport.
Alan Shipnuck, senior writer at Sports Illustrated, a columnist for Golf Magazine. He is an author and creator of The Knockdown. My man, sincerely, nobody better than you. That was an unbelievable conversation. Alan, thank you so much. Great to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
That was unbelievable. That was an awesome conversation. Alan Shipnuck.